This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
You have a great disturbance in the Force.
Rogue adventure. Little secret. Jedi craves not these things.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Go switch off!
This is the 2BT, 2BT podcast. Daddy and Dave are awesome!
Oh, God.
I was telling Mike I feel like I've been put to the ringer, man, emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
And bladder-wise as well.
Right. Two and a half hours.
Actually, it was three because we had the whole pre-movie thing.
Yeah. John Williams thing.
I mean, yeah, you're trapped there.
Next thing, don't drink the full cup of Fuzzy's Taco Dr. Pepper. Note to self.
Well, you can't not.
I mean, you got to because the burrito was good. But I mean,
like, I still got some.
Remember when I told you right at the beginning, I said, just go in and get it all out, even if it's just a little bit, because that may be the... That may be the difference at the end of the movie, and it was.
You have to go up to your, use the force to maintain your bladder control.
Yep. I felt like I did.
How about the owls?
Rise above it, Steve. Rise above it.
Right.
Got a question for my wife.
Oh, yeah.
Are y'all giggling like schoolgirls about how awesome it is?
No.
Got it, Mike. Okay, so let's officially start. Hey, everybody, welcome to the 2BT. I'm David.
Michael.
Steven.
So, we are joining y'all fresh just right after watching Star Wars,
The
Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
So, I'll go ahead and pass it over to Mike and let you give us your first impressions of the movie there.
Anybody that's been paying attention to this two or three episodes we've put out, it's no secret. We kind of dig Star Wars, and no secret that...
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm kind of overwhelmed, like Steven was saying a minute ago. I'm a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack in this movie, and can't wait to take my wife and oldest daughter to go see it again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Monday morning, hopefully, for us.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
Loved it. I feel like I've been put through an emotional roller coaster. Yeah, I'm still basically quivering, shaking, and have a permagrin, so, great movie. Rian Johnson deserves a pat on the back.
Give him a hug.
Yeah.
Dave,
yeah.
What are your initial reactions?
I loved it. I was trying to keep everybody in suspense and be like, well, you know, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, man. Oh man, there's so much in it, and we were talking about that a minute ago, driving home. There's so much in it that you can't really just take it in on just one viewing. There's too much to kind of like decode, decipher, whatever you call it, you know, that so many things. So if you're just now turning this on, or if you have, We're talking about The Last Jedi, so this is going to be spoiler-filled. If you do not want any spoilers, turn it off now.
Don't listen.
We're going to wait 30 seconds or some amount of time because I'm not going to set up a timer to count out 30 seconds.
Right. I'll count.
Yeah.
Just go away unless you don't care.
Yeah.
Bye. See you next week. Close enough. All right, we're back.
It's a huge freaking movie.
Huge movie. God bless this huge movie. It's so much.
Yeah. Like I said, it's so much to have to take in.
It's going to take a while to unpack this.
Yeah, with one viewing, it's almost overwhelming to where you're like, oh my God, what exactly did I just see? Because you get answers to important questions.
Yes.
But you still get left with more questions.
No.
You know, the one question that I was, you know, bringing up to you as soon as we walked out, Mike, and I think you had already walked into the bathroom, Steven, and it was the different reflections of Rey there on, what is it, Octu?
Octu.
I can't remember the name of the where she goes down inside the Well of Darkness, basically. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to call it, is a Well of Darkness, right. Because that's what it looked like.
Basically the Force Cave.
Yeah, it's basically the
Dark Side
Cave. The Last Jedi version of the Dark Side Cave.
Right.
And she goes down inside this Dark Side Well, and there's like a crystal, like a reflection crystal, and you see all these different reflections of Rey.
The mirror in the Harry Potter movies where you can look in and see what your greatest desire is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what she used it for.
Exactly.
And she didn't get an answer, though.
Yeah.
She didn't get a response.
Well,
I think that was supposed to be all the different paths she could take.
And see, that was one thing that I was thinking as well. And then she also, you know, she clearly says, show me my parents. Of course, that's that moment where everybody kind of like clenches up and goes, okay, well, who the hell is it going to be? At first, as the image kind of starts to come through, you start thinking, well, damn, that kind of looks like Kylo Ren.
Well, didn't it look like two people were approaching?
Yeah, it looked like two people were approaching. And then
they merged into one.
Then it merged into one, which kind of looked like I said to me, it looked like Kylo Ren at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, as, you know, spoiler, obviously, it just was her reflection.
Right.
So that almost says to me, and even though Kylo brings up something later on, says that she was nothing, came from nothing, you still are nothing. And I think that was him trying to break her down, trying to get into her mind.
I think he's lying.
I still think that she is a Force anomaly, just like what Anakin was. That's the reason why she's so powerful with the Force.
Well, extremely powerful.
To me, it was, you know, if you remember The Force Awakens, he says, what girl?
Yeah.
He's heard of her. And then he gets to tell her she's the son of a junk traders who traded her for drinking money in a pauper's grave.
Right? Yeah.
They say she's nothing, then how would he ever known about her? I think he was like Dave. I think he's lying to her just to break her down. You're nothing. You never will be nothing. You never were nothing.
Well, exactly. It's a classic tactic to get into somebody's mind. And like, you know, like what we said, to basically break her down and say, you know, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
You're nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's still too much, man. It's too much. Too much. You know, that was the one memorable moment. I'll go around the table just as you know, kind of like a little round table thing. Michael, what was your favorite part of
That's a tough one. I think my favorite parts had to do... my two favorite parts came at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
So if I... For...
Yeah.
Spoiler, okay, I'm just going to bring up, this is how the movie ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're talking about how this is the rebirth of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rebirth of this. I mean, it's not a hidden message. I think it's a message directly to the fans. This is the rebirth of the Star Wars
trilogy.
Franchise.
Yeah.
And there's a little boy in the stables, and they're telling the story of how Luke stood up to the big bad guy, and all these kids' eyes are just really big, and then the big bad guy that's like their overseer comes in and yells at him, and the boy walks out, and he just reaches for the broom, and the broom comes into his hand.
Oh, dude, God bless it.
And he's sweeping, and then he looks up into the stars, and he sees like a shooting star come across the night sky, and you see his silhouette. And the broom kind of starts turning in his hand, and it's lifted like he's holding a lightsaber.
Yeah. And, well, if you notice, that star shoots off.
Yeah.
It was actually a ship going into hyperspace.
Right. Okay.
So, did you get the connotations there that that's Anakin Skywalker from Episode 1? The little slave boy.
Right. Yeah.
Working for a slave master, trapped on some planet somewhere.
They're definitely pulling hard from the source material.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord, trilogies. Yeah. And I don't blame them. I still feel this is the... I think this is Disney's way of... Because they could have gone and tried to remake them. But why do that?
Why? There's no need
to. Yeah, so one guy was saying, it's just going to be... One guy told me the other day, he said, oh, it's just going to be like The Empire Strikes Back, except lamer. I will agree, he's right. It was like The Empire Strikes Back. But it wasn't lamer. It was packed with stuff from all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of potential for where it's going to go.
Yeah.
The other one was when Kylo Ren... and Luke faced off. Just that entire 5-minute sequence there from the beginning to the end.
Oh, dude. I will say, like, whenever he's like, concentrate all guns on him and open fire.
Yeah.
And everything just like, there's the first laser blast and everything just goes crazy haywire, just blowing, like, just shooting. And I was like, yeah, look, it's not even going to faze him. It's not even going to hurt him. Not even going to harm him.
And there was a reason for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, just, so beautiful. Okay, Steve, what about yours?
Two parts. very specific parts. First one, when Chewbacca and Rey are flying the Millennium Falcon mm-hmm. and come out, and the Millennium Falcon's there, the Star Wars theme's playing, and then they're flying through Crate, and you get the Escape from the Death Star theme.
Oh,
from
yeah.
The New Hope. Yeah, tears in the eyes, hairs on the arms, standing up. Yeah, cool. And then at the end where Luke tells Kylo, see you around, kid.
Dude, that was such
his back and walked
that way. To me, that was such a Han Solo remark.
Yes, he's,
and that's what exactly I loved about it. Was. To me, that's you know, I really liked that part a lot. And I was trying to sit in here think while y'all were talking, like, what were my favorite parts? Because there's so many of that movie that I'm just like, oh, dude, yeah. But yeah, that was one part that I just like, man, that's such a Han remark.
Didn't
such
Han say that to Luke in New Hope? See you around, kid. As he's loading the Falcon with his winnings from rescuing the princess.
That sounds really familiar.
It's such a Han Solo. It may not be from the movies, but it sounds so like him.
I don't think that it is. I'm not going to say I'm 100% sure on that, but I don't think that it is. But still, like, it is just a Han Solo remark, dude. It is so, like, typical. And that's one thing that I noticed in the movie that I'll go ahead and bring up before I get to mine. But if you notice, they started doing Poe's costume very similar to Han Solo.
Yeah,
true.
Empire Strikes Back Solo.
Yeah, exactly.
Black long sleeve.
Had the holster slung low on his hip, down on his thigh and stuff, man. Well,
Johnson didn't keep any secrets that he did use Empire as a source.
Oh yeah.
Because they said even for like lighting, they watched it really closely for lighting cues and how to use to make it look get the look that they used from the Empire movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and man, oh, dude. Okay, so I'm going to tell you all my favorite parts.
What are your favorite parts?
Yeah.
All of it.
Basically.
My part's 2.5 hours long.
Dude, okay, mine are kind of like insignificant parts almost, but it's still stuff that, like, the Easter eggs, the hidden Easter eggs, I will say.
Right.
Like the dice hanging from the Falcon. And Luke makes it a point to go get those dice. Mm-hmm. And then whenever he hands those off to Leia, like, dude, that's like, that teared me up, dude. That teared me up. And
I thought you were going to lose it then, dude.
Yeah. And then the meeting of Luke and R2-D2.
Right.
You know, as I've made it clear on every episode, I think, so far, that I'm a Luke Skywalker guy and a half. And I enjoyed seeing the meeting of Luke and R2 more than I think I would have enjoyed seeing Han and Luke in the meetup again.
Well, one cool thing about that scene is up until that point, he had just been a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
Go away. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And then, but it's like you see a light up in his eyes when he sees R2.
Oh, R2 dude.
Yeah, that was it made him kind of a reflection of how he used to be.
Oh, God,
but then he went back to being grumpy old man.
He did, until R2 played the old recording of Leia for him.
Right.
Oh, and that was so awesome.
That one got me, man. Like, I was doing all right with him meeting R2, and then whenever you played the, you know, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only, you know, years ago you served my father.
But didn't even Luke say something like, come on, that's not fair.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, that was Luke and R2, because, you know, R2, he, even though he's a robot that doesn't have any speaking parts whatsoever, I always considered him a character. It's kind of almost like the Falcon. I've always kind of considered the Falcon as a character as itself, because it has its own personality. You know, I mean, you think about the ways that it reacts in, like, Return of the Jedi, and not just Return of the Jedi, but The Empire Strikes Back, and even with, you know, The Force Awakens, you know. I've always kind of considered that, even though it's...
Well, they're iconic parts of it, definitely. Yeah. And just like, you could also, maybe not a character, but it's just as important, we were talking about it on the way home, the score is every bit as important to the movie. John Williams is, his input to the feels you get.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Perfect.
Which was... Man, I can't even explain the scoring to this movie. It was just freaking beautiful. That was what was cool about ours. Part of the fan experience. Isn't that what it was called? Fan experience?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Part of the fan experience package that we had was, you know, our movie started at 6. And, right? Dude, that was from Disney, man. Those things are freaking awesome. It's like a little diecast thing. Sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry to distract you.
No, you distracted me. I thought about getting my porg down for the show and putting him on the table because I had to get a porg. He's up there next to my big stuffed Chewbacca. But anyways, what was I talking about just then? I got sad.
The fan experience.
Oh, the fan experience.
We didn't really know what we were getting into.
We didn't really know what we were getting into. So 6 o'clock, 6:01 to be exact. The trailer started, which was really cool. There was a couple of really good movies. I love going to movies. That's one of my favorite, like, I guess, pastimes or whatever, I guess you could say. And trailers kicked on, and there was about 5 or 6 trailers, about a good 10, 15 minutes of trailers. And then we had a 15-minute video that was basically all John Williams doing the scoring. Ryan Johnson introduced it, and he's like, you know, you guys are the true fans or whatever. And then we had a nice little, I guess you could call it like a splash page almost, that just said opening night, Star Wars The Last Jedi. And then that played, and then they cut into John Williams doing the scoring for The Last Jedi. And that's basically all that little fan experience was. It was like exclusive content, but it was great. It was great. Because one thing that I love about Star Wars is not just the movies itself, but the score that goes along with it. To me, John Williams is a freaking master. And we were having a discussion on the way home on how other movies like the Avengers and things like that could have benefited from somebody like John Williams. And just like, and him adding that extra personal touch, without that, you know, I mean, Star Wars would still be awesome, but I don't think it would be as good as what it is without the touch of John Williams.
I agree.
It's kind of like one of those things. It makes me think of comic books. I mean, you can have a great writer and you can enjoy the book, but if you have it, and then you have an artist, and the artist can be great. But something that most people don't even think about, or a lot of people don't necessarily think about, is just the colorist.
Oh, yeah.
How important they can be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To something. So that's kind of like, the music, the score is providing the color.
It is, man. Yeah. It definitely is. And that's a great analogy, man. That's a very good analogy. I would have never thought of that. And that's, like, awesome. Like,
thank you,
Dave. I'm kind of blown away over here. There's a reason why we keep Michael.
Yeah, right. I've been wondering.
Right.
I mean, other than that, you're pretty much good for nothing.
That's what my mom says. No.
Yeah, man, dude, like, but that little, I'd say that was a little 15-minute preview or, like, special.
It was really cool.
It was, man.
It was worth it, if you ask me.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I wish any time I went to go see the movie, they could play that again, because just getting to watch, and that was one thing I brought up on the ride home, is getting to watch the faces of Rian Johnson, and I'm not sure who the other man was that was there in the editing booth with him whenever they were doing the scoring. But they just had this look of awe, like you are in presence of a master while he's doing his work. And that's one thing that I've always loved about John Williams, is that, you know, he doesn't score the movie. Well, he scores the movie, obviously, but he doesn't read the script. He scores the movie along with the, you know,
like he gets an edit.
Yeah, he gets an edit. And so he watches the movie and then writes the music to go with the movie. And then, so technically, whenever he orchestrates, you know, leads the orchestra. I don't want to say orchestrates the orchestra, but whenever he leads the orchestra, he is not just orchestrating them, but he's also orchestrating them and the movie at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's just an amazing thing, man. Like,
and then it just went right into the movie.
Yeah.
No warning, really. Yeah. I thought there'd be a little bit of a break.
It just went dark, and then Lucasfilm, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then here we go.
That's the same. Is that still like the original
Lucas? No, it's not. That's changed. Because I've actually got, there was a DVD set that came out. I'm not really sure exactly when, but it was the original trilogy. They did the first set that was like the 2 box sets. They had the Platinum Edition and the Copper Edition or whatever. And then after that one came out, they were widescreen in 43 or whatever. Anyways, after that came out, there was just a regular box set. There wasn't any special about it. But whenever you bought it, it was 2 discs per thing. So there was the special editions with all the enhancements, and then you had the closest copy that you can get to the actual original theatrical release. And that was basically just a transport from Laserdisc over to DVD.
Yeah.
So they're not the best quality, but I love them, man, because then you can sit there and watch, you know, without you know, the weird jerky head movement of Han and Greedo shooting first and, and, you know, those things like that. And I don't think that those take away from that by any means at all. Like, I, you know, I'm one of those people that if it's got Star Wars on it, I basically love it. So, but, yeah, man, it's, yeah.
It was a great movie.
Oh yeah. I'm still just in awe, man.
How would you summarize? Cause I kind of thought when we were walking out, like, that's like three movies packed into one.
It is, man. And that's what we were saying on the way out to the truck is, you know, you had undertones of Empire Strikes Back. You had tones of Return of the Jedi. And you had tones of A New Hope that were very clearly stated, if you ask me.
Right.
You know, like, they were all, like, yeah. You're like, oh, wow.
Return of the Jedi was heavy there at one point.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, holy crap, dude. We totally, like you said earlier, we skipped Empire. We're returning right into now.
Yeah.
I was thinking then, it's like, what are we going to do for the third act of this movie? This is not the last one. We still have one more to go.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this? And then it answers the question. So you're like, oh, but that's where we're going.
I tell you what, it blew me away just with that as well, because, you know, now Snoke is dead.
Yeah.
You know? So, and he dies.
Didn't one of us summarize that he wasn't going to make it out of this movie here recently?
I don't know. I've
heard it somewhere. I don't know if it's one of you guys, another podcast, or what, but I've heard somebody say Snoke wasn't making it out of this movie alive.
He didn't.
No, he didn't.
He ended kind of horrible.
Kind of went out like a punk, though.
Yeah.
I expected more from him, and then all of a sudden he's like in two different pieces. Well, like, holy crap.
Is that a sign of overconfidence?
Yeah,
it has to be. It's a Sith thing.
Yeah.
But what surprised me is I always thought, well, maybe he is a Force user, but maybe he's not that powerful.
Yeah.
He was pretty powerful, it seemed like. So, and then he had Sith lightning, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, to me, that's...
So was he a Sith?
Yeah, because he shocked the shit out of Kylo Ren.
Must have been. One
time. Yeah, he has to. I mean, but then who was he? Who trained him? Where did he come from?
What's his backstory?
Yeah.
We might get that. I'm sure that they might... You know, they put the novels out, comic books, that might be in those eventually.
And the backstory on him, because still everybody's wondering who he is. I'm fine with not knowing who he is.
Right.
You know, I'm fine with just being like, well, that dude is Snoke.
Yeah.
I don't need to know where he comes from.
I'm okay with that, but this confuses me, because there's always like the rule of two. You know, Darth Vader, Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
You know, where did Snoke come in at?
Well, yeah, and Snoke and Kylo Ren. And
yeah, I know, but...
And that's one thing that they've always stated in the I hate saying this, but in the books, because, you know, up until the point of the Disney sell, it was always like you have the different canons. Now all the canons have gone into one.
No.
But they've always said that, you know, to become a true Sith, you have to kill your master before you can become a true Sith.
Right.
So at the point, to me...
Yeah, he's a true Sith now.
Yeah, there's no redemption for Kylo Ren.
No, he's not.
To me, there's
no. No, there is
no. Yeah. No, there's definitely no way. He's completely gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Rey did it her best. And it's weird how they played off the two versions of why Kylo went bad. And it kind of had me questioning a little bit.
Yeah.
Up to a certain point, they were like, well, maybe Luke was wrong in the way he treated him. But no, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Did you get the point, though, that Kylo was literally right on the edge? All he had to do is, like, shuffle his toe across the line. He would have been on the light side. I mean, it seemed like he got right to the edge of, like, going good.
Yeah.
Or staying bad. And it just, he made his decision. I think the decision was more his to make than it was Rey's. Yeah. I think she told Luke basically the same thing he told Yoda. What was it? Not trust me, but what was the lines when he was going to Bespin and all that other stuff? And it basically was like, trust me.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
I don't know. See, I never believed that he was going to the light. I never believed that he was going to the light side. To me, it always seemed like he had some sort of undertone there. And just...
He just wanted her.
Yeah. He just wanted her. He wanted to take her as his apprentice, from what I understand. That's what I thought. But it does make me wonder, after seeing Yoda as a Force ghost, and now Luke being gone, he's going to be a Force ghost. So are we going to see Luke and Yoda both training Rey in the ways of the Force?
Dear Lord, I hope so.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Dude, Yoda was awesome.
Question.
Yeah.
Big question how they could handle that.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Yoda's in this movie too, y'all.
Yeah.
Yep. You were right. You called it.
Yeah,
one of y'all called it. You at least wanted Yoda to be
in there. I just wanted Yoda to be in there because.
It was a really cool moment.
Yeah, I thought so.
And that, come on, am I wrong? It was not kind of not a shot at the people that kind of threw a little bit of a fit when they kind of did away with the earlier novels. Those are just old books. They're not the the story being written now or something like that.
Not page turners, were they? It's hard to talk because it's kind of all going through my mind still, and I can't focus on one part.
I'm kind of like, I will say, what'd y'all think of the Yoda?
He looks a little wonky to me.
Yeah, but
I know they went back to a puppet.
Yeah,
is what I've read. They're going back to a puppet if he was going to be in it because Jim Henson, was seen going in and out of there. So that tells
Jim
me
Henson,
not Jim Henson, Frank Oz.
Because
there was reports of him going in and out of Pinewood.
Yeah.
So if he's going in and out of Pinewood.
Well, he could have just been going to Pinewood just to do the voiceover.
That's true. I'm thinking that if he was going to be in it, then it would have been.
But all that should be on IMDb. On IMDb at this point now.
He did seem a little wonky, but it was just awesome to have Yoda in it.
Oh, yeah. I thought it looked kind of odd because I was like, looks like Yoda's put on some pounds. he's been eating good.
Living in the nether regions, he eats more than tree root stew or something like that.
I was about to say, he's not eating that swamp scum soup anymore, and keeping snakes as pets.
I kept waiting for Ewan McGregor as Ben Kenobi to come walking out.
Oh, man. Like,
that's what I'm hoping for in number 9 there, JJ.
Yeah.
Basically, Rian Johnson walked out today, dropped the mic, and threw the glove on the ground. It's your turn again.
Rian.
So
Frank Oz was the voice.
Does it say just voice, or does it say puppeteer also?
Here it says voice.
Okay.
All right, so he's probably CG then.
Yeah. I don't know, because it did. That's one thing that I'm curious about. I guess we'll just have to do some research on that because it did look very
puppet like.
Yeah, it looked very. It looked too real to be CGI.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looked like it was front and center there in front of Luke, and he was actually talking to something as it's moving around.
Computer's being all wonky. So if y'all keep hearing a turn, that's because I'm having technical difficulties. We've been having technical difficulties with my computer here. Hopefully, after the beginning of the year, I'll be getting a new one. So don't pay any attention to that crap.
Yeah.
So. We want to bring up the Carrie Fisher. Did y'all have that? We spoke a couple of times about how did we think they were going to handle it.
Yeah.
And one of the guesses we had was that she was going to die on screen in this.
Yeah.
And they're in the trailers, they had shown that Kylo Ren was lining up for a shot to the bridge of the Rebel ship. And the way they did that really had me.
Yeah.
Because as soon as she got sucked out into space when the missiles hit, Kylo did not kill his mother.
Yep.
Did not do it.
His wingman did.
His wingman, he waited. He didn't say, don't do it.
Yeah, he pulled back.
And I was like, she died. She was going to be the one, so we're going to have Luke again for another movie, sounds like. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But then she reaches out and pulls herself back into the ship, and they grab her and put her in the resuscitator.
That
really threw me for a loop.
That was the one part of the movie I didn't like.
I was going to say, that's the one thing that bugged me.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was a little corny looking, if you ask me.
I won't say it was corny looking. It just bothered me that she opened up her eyes in outer space and they didn't get sucked out of her head and all the blood come boiling out.
Well, because you have to exhale
from
another series of books. You get put out in outer space, you get 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And you got to exhale or your lungs will explode.
I did not like that part of the movie, though. I'll honestly tell you that.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars, so you got
to. Yeah, it is. That's what I'm saying. It's Star Wars.
I'm not going to hear anything in outer space either.
Yeah, it's not science fiction. It's science fantasy. It's what I tell myself.
So.
But like I said, that's the one. You're not supposed to hear anything. You're not supposed to have explosions with flames and stuff, But
that's okay.
I always look past that stuff. But the whole, her floating in outer space and opening up her eyes, really bugged me for some reason.
And then reaching out and flying through space Superman. That's what bugged me.
That didn't bother me at all. Like, just the whole, her opening up her eyes. And, I could get the whole, using the force to pull yourself back in.
Mm-hmm.
But the opening your eyes in outer space part just really killed me.
She had such that would have been an opportunity for them to deal with her death.
Yeah.
If they had already shot around some other scenes and she was important until the very end, she really couldn't have done that.
Yeah. So. And I will say that was one thing that I'm kind of glad that they didn't. I'm kind of glad that they didn't go in and change the movie and put her death in there.
Right.
And I thought that, you know, whatever, she gets sucked out into space. I sat there and said to myself, I was like, man, they're going to get rid of her early. And I was like, it's too early in the movie for them to go ahead and write her out. Mm-hmm. It's way too early. And I thought, you know, the, what's her name? Sorry, my phone is going off. The what's her name? The chick from the original Jurassic Park films. The new Admiral.
Laura Dern.
Yeah, Laura Dern. Yeah, Laura Dern's character. I can't remember what her character's name was. Was it Hoda?
Admiral Holdo.
Yeah. She's almost like Hodor. Yeah.
Hodor.
She held the door, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hodor. Yeah.
She went out like a champ.
That was a cool part of the movie,
too. I disliked her throughout the whole movie. I'm like, she's being short-sighted. And then Leia comes in and says, nope, she's doing exactly what she needs to be doing.
Yeah.
We have a plan. You just don't need to know what it is.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best sacrifices somebody could ever do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And she took the ship. I mean, it's no spoiler because you shouldn't be listening to this if you haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
And when she throws it into hyperspace and it just everybody on the what was that ship? What type of ship was that?
I don't know. They didn't ever say it was
It looked like an old Mon Cal cruiser.
Yeah.
And she just hyperspaced or light speeded right through that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was cool, and man.
Also, oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah. It was, yeah, her demise was, I thought she was just going to move the cruiser into coverage for the transports. Because she started turning the cruiser, and I was like, cool, she's going to use the cruiser to be the cover for the transports and let the transports get away like that.
I thought she was going to jump into hyperspace, and then they were like, oh, they really are on there. We're going to follow them, and then they'd have a chance to get out, kind of like that.
Well, I initially thought that at first, thought that she was going to jump it into hyperspace, and I thought that their thing was just going to be on autopilot, that their tracking thing that they were going to track them or whatever. I thought that was going to just be on autopilot and automatically kick in and shoot them going through hyperspace, and that's how the resistance was going to get away. No, yeah, she turned it in like a champ and just said, "F it, guys, I'm going at this thing, you know, kicking and screaming, going out like a blaze of glory, Bon Jovi style, you know."
I like how they did it whenever he actually ran into the Star Destroyer.
Oh, dude, yeah, that was
like amazing. The sound goes away, and you see that was a cool part.
Well, one neat thing for the other Star Wars movies. I'm talking about the original trilogy. Between Star Wars, A New Hope, to Empire, to Return of the Jedi, wasn't there always like a gap in time between the end of the movie and the beginning of the
movie? There's always been like a three-year gap, Dave, between movies? 2 to 3 year gap?
3 year gap
between movies?
There was
no gap
really. I mean, there might have been a little bit of a gap in the storyline with Kylo Ren and Snoke.
Yeah.
And, but it really did. It started out with the Rey and Luke confrontation. It starts out right where it ended.
Oh, yeah.
And he was not what I expected him to be.
I love that interaction, dude. Because, you know, she hands him the saber and, you know, he just kind of like looks at it, looks up at her, tosses it over his shoulder.
A lot of attitude. A lot of grumpy old man attitude in that Luke Skywalker.
What I loved about it, though, is it was very Mark Hamill personality style wise, like
his true personality.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw him for the first. It might have been one of the first times I've ever seen him interviewed. He was on Colbert, the other night,
and he was hilarious. Oh yeah,
and it's kind of who he was on the on the show.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. He's just freaking like. Anytime you get a chance to see a panel with Mark Hamill, just do it because he has usually. Here lately, I will say he has not had like a moderator. He usually just goes in, they give him a microphone, and he just talks.
Right.
That dude can like just talk for like hours. I would love to just sit down and like have a day with Mark Hamill and just talk with him because it'd be great. You know, he's got this show on I think it's Comic Con channel on Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And good God, I cannot remember the name of it. But anyways, it's about collectors, and he goes to like these different collectors and things like that, and checking out their collection.
Oh, really, really?
So, and through that, you can see a lot of his personality as well. But yeah, man, the Luke Skywalker, minus the grumpy old man-ness of the Luke Skywalker personality in this, like that is basically Mark Hamill. Like, loved it. Loved the character of Luke. And that was one thing that he said, you know, you're going to be surprised, you know, with how Luke is. And
yeah, first, I was not expecting this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I was really heartbroken. I'm like, oh, is this really how they're going to leave his storyline? Yeah. And I was waiting for him to somehow show up on the ship when Rey went to confront and turn Kylo Ren.
Are you getting that Frodo mixed
together? I don't know where that came from.
Mr. Frodo.
I really kept thinking, maybe he's going to step in. Maybe he's going to show up somehow.
Yeah.
And no.
That's what I kept waiting on also was him stepping in, you know, in the throne room there and taking on Snoke or whatever, pulling the lightsaber, because that was the one thing that I was like, wow, this is very Return of the Jedi, where he's got the saber on, you know, the arm of his throne or whatever, and it's like, oh my god, this is very Return of the Jedi, you know.
I thought they were cool, but I've always liked the Royal Guards, just they're all red in the sea of black and white, you know.
They had those what were those weapons they were using?
Vibro blades or whatever they
called. Yeah,
it was like a whip.
Yeah, one was like a whip. One was
that reminded me of that rapier from Red Rising. Remember razor. They talk about how the razor.
The razor.
The wraps around the leg and the next thing.
Sword.
Yeah,
anything. Yeah. I got a little Praetorian
guard. Oh, dude, he's awesome.
Yeah. I'm one of that dude.
Isn't there like two or three different styles of him?
Yeah.
The different helmets or something they wear?
Yeah. If you notice, you had one guy that had kind of like a big cracker looking type thing on top of his. And I guess he's supposed to be the head dude in charge or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you guys.
What's up?
All right. We're 3 years into this, going to see it all together, everything, right?
Right.
So we have The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and The Last Jedi now. Which one's your favorite one?
I still got to go with Rogue One. Just because the OT feels, man. I still got to go with Rogue One.
I'm going to have to say, ask me to compare Force Awakens and this one, I'm going to say right now, and it's maybe just because I'm just getting out of watching it right now. Mm-hmm. I think this is a superior movie to the first one.
All right, let's do it that way, Dave. Since Rogue One kind of stands on its own, Rogue One goes back to OT. Yeah. We all know that, so we're going to pick that over anything.
Yeah.
So, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, we're two movies into this new trilogy now. J.J. Abrams versus Rian Johnson, whatever you want to look at it as. Which one's your favorite?
Sorry, give me a second here.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my answer while Dave's doing his technical stuff there. Hands down, Last Jedi. Just the whole plot line seemed like it was more thought out.
Yeah.
There was more to the movie.
Really and intricate, right?
It was extremely intricate. It was, to me, it's like a web, and he wove that web, and it just tied in with each other, and it's just a very well-made, thought-out, planned, like you were talking, just the wardrobes in this movie were just amazing. Like I said, the lighting and the Emperor, not the Emperor, Snoke's throne room, just the lighting, the red lighting in the background with the red guards, and he's wearing gold, and the lights on the steps, and just, it was amazing. No offense to JJ, because he had to start the story. Right. And maybe there's just not much you can do starting it off. But Last Jedi, hands down, takes the cake, Force Awakens, in my book.
Well, help me out on this question. There's lots of storylines woven together, like I said, in the web for this. They all meet up at the end.
Yeah.
But the one with Finn and this new character that I love, Rose, did they actually accomplish anything throughout everything they did other than just
Benicio del Toro.
Who ended up being a pretty involved character. Yeah. Funny character.
He asked me, did they accomplish anything, is the question. I think they did, because isn't that kid at the end of the movie we're talking about who's going to start the thing?
He had her ring.
Yeah.
We're with the Resistance. We're the Rebels.
That's true.
He set them free, gave them hope.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder if that might be the start of the next trilogy.
Yes.
The one that Rian Johnson's supposed to be heading up or whatever.
Yep. In a place we've never been before. We've never been to Canto Bight. Right. You know, I mean, that's what I think. And I think they did. I think they accomplished something. I mean, did they do what they had originally started off to do? No. But Holdo had a plan that we and nobody else knew about. So they didn't really need to do that.
That's kind of one of the things I saw. An article headline said this is something you didn't expect from The Last Jedi that has some nuance to it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening. I don't know if this fits that category, but the fact that you expect Poe to just be out there and he being the hero.
Yeah.
There was a lot of failure in this film, and even Luke, when he has his little, monologue talking about, oh yeah, I'm the great Luke Skywalker. I'm a legend.
Yeah.
And that kind of says, you know what? It's all a lie. All a story. I'm not great. I thought I was, and I failed.
Yep.
And that's kind of the underlying thing about one of the main story plots.
Yeah, the plot storylines in the movie is
failure.
Yeah, and then it comes back to it's okay.
And Yoda even said that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I told you pass on once you learn, I didn't mean pass on
strength.
Pass on your failures so they can learn.
That was
and maybe.
No. I wish I could remember the line that he said there, because that was one thing. And I always say Yoda has the best lines. Yoda has the best lines. You know, and there's so many pivotal ones. You know, the one that sticks close to me is, you know, do or do not, there is no try.
Mm-hmm.
And then luminous beings, are we not this crude matter? And then he used that one that he brought up the about failure, and I wish I could remember it, because that was. You know, for the little amount of time that Yoda gets on screen, he has some of the most best, you know, most powerful lines that you have in the entire saga together, even the standalones. Man. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why I like this movie so much more, is it's not all about the hero. It's not all about the hero winning the day with destroying the bad guy and vanquishing the forces of evil. Maybe this puts the hero in human terms that we can all understand.
Well, I think that's what it's pushing for, because even when Rose near the end is, she pretty much saves Finn and almost kills herself.
Yeah.
She's like, silly, it's not about, we're not going to win because we're fighting out of hate or trying to get revenge.
Fighting for what we love.
It's for what we love. Yeah. To save each other.
Well, and this one thing that it also says, like, your heroes, no matter how high in regards you hold them, they're also flawed as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then to me, that was like the biggest, you know, message I got from it.
Okay, Dave, it's your turn now.
Yeah, I can't remember what. I'm kind of worried.
Yeah, Force Awakens, Last Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, Last Jedi. I like The Force Awakens, and I was mentioning this on the ride home, or, you know, I watched Force Awakens yesterday in anticipation for The Last Jedi today.
Mm.
And the only thing that really bugged me about it was just that the lens flares, and it had never, ever, ever, ever bothered me beforehand until yesterday whenever I watched it. And I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden I was like, man, there's a lot of lens flares for one blasted scene. But don't get me wrong, I still love the Force Awakens. But to me, right now, and it could just be because I just saw it, but I love The Last Jedi.
Yep.
Hands down, really great dug movie. It. So
I'm hoping this, JJ's at a theater somewhere, or I guess he probably saw it earlier this week, and goes, all right, gauntlet's been thrown down.
Yeah.
Get on your ride. I'm going to go make the best movie I've ever freaking made.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. We'll get the end of the saga. And, yeah, I hope he takes some notes from Rian Johnson and doesn't try to, like, hero it up. Let's just have normal, everyday heroes.
Really good story. And a lot of good stories. Great. A lot of good characters. They were able to, like, develop some people, some character in it that even little people that, and that's another thing. Little moments, you were talking about, like the little moment when Chewbacca is sitting there before the fire about to eat him a nice little
a
little dinner of porg.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor little, they were just so sad.
I was kind of surprised. I really thought that the porgs would play more into the movie or whatever, and they didn't really. Like, they were there. Like,
I thought that was their parts were perfect.
Yeah.
That's what they were. They were just little birds.
Yeah. Cute. Didn't.
A little bit of comic relief here and there.
Much,
yeah.
Even though they did invade the Millennium Falcon.
Right. Like the one that had built a nest.
The wire.
I think that was the same spot that, like, I think is 3PO gets all tangled up.
Yeah, and R2 puts the fire out.
I think that might have been the same spot where 3PO, I have to go back and see the movie again, but I'm thinking that's what that spot was, where 3PO got tangled up. Yeah. And then the mutiny. And 3PO having his classic, going to let him in. He's like, no, don't do that. And he's like, I'm not programmed for mutiny or whatever. And then the door starts to melt away. He's like, yep, never mind.
Never mind.
And then I love the fact that 3PO got to throw out some odds. you know?
Oh, yeah. I kept waiting for Poe to say, never tell me the odds.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I was waiting for that, and he goes, and one.
Okay, I want to bring something up to y'all. Does this seem like Anthony Daniels kind of overacts just a little bit nowadays? Because obviously 3PO, if you look from what 3PO used to be in the original trilogy to now, like, he kind of hams it up a little bit, in my opinion. But I want to find
somebody else has seen it.
Okay. No.
I do. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, 3PO is always...
He's always hammed been, it up, yeah, he's
overacted, overreacted.
It's like it's Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think Anthony Daniels is grasping at fame a little too hard.
Maybe so. Maybe
it's
so.
Possible.
I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that's what it seems like. It's. I mean, you're 3PO, dude. Good on you. But I don't go to the movies to watch C-3PO.
Right.
Oh, somebody out there may, and hey, man, that's your prerogative. Hey, lady, that's your prerogative, whatever you are.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't go to watch 3PO. I'm glad he's there, but I'm not there to watch 3PO.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Chewbacca, I was kind of surprised with how little bit, I mean, Chewbacca's in the movie, obviously, but he's not a big major player in the movie, really. I loved the fact that he kicked in the door to Luke's hut.
Chewie!
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was
think about that. Yeah, but he's also, I mean, he is like, who would Rey be his right hand?
That's a good question, man. I don't know.
The Millennium Falcon, he's there when she needs him.
They turned it into that because she was with him in the Falcon whenever they helped the Rebel. Can we call them Rebels now instead of the Resistance?
I might as well. Because
that's what they're calling themselves.
And it even like pointed out, Rebels, because I elbowed you and pointed out, you know, like it says, actually says Rebels in the crawl.
Yeah.
Rebel base or whatever.
Yeah. So, and I forget where I was going with that now. But, they showed up to help the Rebels on Krayt. She was right there with him, you know, and she's been with him. And so, I think that's our new Han and Chewie team. I mean,
it's possible unless they promote Poe to that.
She's also the last Jedi now.
Yeah.
That's the answer we thought, well, is Luke really going to be the last Jedi?
Yeah.
She is. Okay, here's a question for you. Is Rey and Kylo Ren brother and sister?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know, man. To me, that just...
Well, whatever, they had that whole Force connection going, though.
Yeah.
That's when I was nudging you, going, dude, that's because they're brother and sister. They're reading each other's minds.
Yeah, and I thought that as well for a little bit, but then it just seems... You know, and Snoke even says, you know, I created the link between the minds or whatever.
But then again, he could be lying to her, because Kylo was lying to her, because... nobody. I don't think she's nobody.
Yeah, he could, but I don't think she's nobody either. I think that she is... Like I said, man, my thought is that she's just like Anakin. She's probably,
sprung from the Force.
Sprung from the Force.
Sands of Jakku.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It just seems a little obvious. And that's probably too obvious. It's probably the way they want you to go with it.
Yeah.
During the movie when they're talking to each other over space and time, you know, and she's like telling them, put your shirt on, you know, basically. Yeah. And all that cool stuff.
Yeah.
But
I did like that part where she tells him to basically throw on a shirt.
Yeah. Could you put a cloak on or something
like that?
Sorry, I'm all spitting off your mic.
Nah, that's fine. Hey, that's yours, basically.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's all Star Wars. But, I still don't think we have an answer to Rey's lineage yet.
Yeah.
And I think there's more to it. And like I said, probably figure that out. And we may not figure it out at all, but I do think there's more to it. And just as a fan, I would like to know more about what it is, but who knows?
Like I said, we've been having technical difficulties. You guys don't realize it, but we stopped there for a second. So anyways, I don't remember what the hell we were talking about. Obviously, The Last Jedi.
There's the whole Rey and Kylo being brother and sister, but I think we tapped that subject out.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Large
Star Destroyer. Or massive Star Destroyer, super Star Destroyer,
the
whatever you want to call it, the Dreadnought.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about Snoke's ship, not the one in the beginning.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think? It's like, it's not the normal shape we're all used to. Now it looks more like a flying wing stealth bomber times 1 million scale.
Well, it was.
Yeah, until Admiral Holdo split it in half when he jumped to light speed in the Mon Cal cruiser.
So I'm assuming that one's destroyed.
Yeah, but I mean, what did you think of it?
I thought it was cool. It wasn't the Star Wars-y feel as what the other ships were. But then again, I mean, like, you got to add new stuff every once in a while with your classic.
I liked it.
Yeah. No, I dug it.
I'm all about new ships, new designs, new fighters. I'm just waiting to get a new spider. other than a revamped X-Wing, a revamped A-Wing.
You know, there was the bomber that...
Bombers were cool, man.
To me, was very reminiscent of World War II bombers.
Yes. Did you even see they had the masks on?
He was influenced by the going back and looking at old footage.
Oh, yeah.
Just like George Lucas did.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The bombers... Bombers were not really quick and
no, they weren't. They were big and slow and couldn't really maneuver. And you know, even Steven elbowed me. He's like, "Look, they got a ball turret." And I was like, "Yeah, dude, that's you know, obviously like that's super badass." But yeah, man, like it really harkened to the B-24s and B-17s of World War II, to where they were just big, slow, and lumbering.
You know what got me the most is they had to go down into the bomb bay to arm the bomb.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I was like, that's cool. That's really way back to
another favorite moment. Time, right at the very beginning of the movie, was Rhoda's sister went out like a champ.
Yeah,
I mean she did everything she could to make an impact, and she definitely
dropped the bombs, took out the dreadnought. Yep.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I really like those bombers. I thought that was cool, man.
It had
ball turrets, armed the bombs. Did you notice they even had these masks on? And the silhouette looked like a World War II. Allied bomber crew. So
did it bother you the element in the story about that they could now track you after you went into
hyperspace? A little bit, because to me that was always like the getaway. Like once you were able to jump into hyperspace and you were free and clear, and now that kind of element's gone. So it's like, well, how do you really like build off of that? You know,
I thought it was pretty cool because it signifies technology's moving forward, the passage of time. And I mean, we are 40 years out, 30 years out from Return of the Jedi, supposedly something like that. So
that's true.
You know, surely there's new tech, new stuff like that coming out all the time. Now we'll get a jammer, you know, or something like that. You can't track me through hyperspace no more. Ah.
And were you surprised? I was a little bit surprised at how they were down to 400 people left distance.
Yeah, it's lower than that now. That William Falcon at the end of the movie is like 10 left.
Yeah.
So, but it's like the whole sequence of the hero's journey or whatever you call it, you know, the second movie of the trilogy, you got to put them in the darkest place you can find.
Yeah.
And then in the third movie, you let them dig their way out.
Well, it's the classic, you know, thing for like plays and stuff like that.
Where
you go and you see the first act, and the first act is basically introducing characters and kind of giving you the story. And, you know, you go into an intermission and then you come out and you give the second act. And it just depends on what type of play or show you're seeing. Then the second act is usually the dark act. The third act is redemption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, you know, like, what we said, their numbers of 20 or less is what it seems like.
Yeah.
Because they're all able to get on the Falcon. And Falcon, obviously, is a pretty large ship, but, you know, how many... It can't hold 400.
No.
They're the leaders.
Yeah.
That's left.
Yeah. It's basically back to what they were, you know, even before Rogue One.
Yeah. It's even smaller than that.
Yeah.
Except now you got the little kid with the broomstick and the lightsaber. He's going to want to join the rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else is fed up with the First Order and the new Empire or whatever you want to call it.
I don't know if it's just me. It's probably just me because I mentioned I finished the trilogy of the Red Rising trilogy.
Yeah.
And we were talking before we went to the movie about how, you know, you can see how he wears his influences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sleeve about, you know, Star Wars. I got the feels for Star Wars in it and other books, but kind of get the same feeling. I wonder if Rian Johnson has read that trilogy because right. You know, the one of the big aspects of these novels is the lower subjugated classes that are trod on. They're used for everything to feed this higher upper class that keeps them down as slaves.
Yep.
That's kind of what that storyline was.
Exactly, yeah.
With the little boy
mm-hmm.
that closed out the movie. He's a slave.
Yep, he is a slave. Because he was sleeping in the stall with whatever those animals were.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
I don't know what they were called. But
remember what she called them. She gives her name.
Star Wars horses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. basically. Yep. Star Wars horses with big ears. I was hoping that they'd be Tauntauns. I was really hoping that they were going to
be Tauntauns. They looked like Tauntauns a little in the face, minus the big ears.
Yeah. I was really hoping that she was like, oh, the Tauntauns. I was like, oh, dude, if that would have been the case, I would have probably crapped my pants sitting there in the theater.
Yeah, you're right. And then the upper echelon playing both sides of the field.
Yeah.
Selling weapons to the First Order and X-Wings to the Resistance. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. War profiteers, man.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Are we going to see the, what do they call him, the Master Coder again? He was kind of the Lando Calrissian.
See, I'm wondering, yeah, where did he go? Because he got on the ship with Finn, Rose,
BB-8.
And BB-8, because he was on that Walker AT-ST with them.
No, he wasn't. Oh, excuse me. Crap.
Sorry.
He was riding to the, he was to the left of BB-8.
No, he wasn't.
I could have swore he was, because they were running off there.
He packed up his reward and was...
They gave him a ship.
Yeah, they gave him a ship.
I think he comes back.
Yeah. I would hope so, because I from what little bit you got to see from his character, I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought he was cool. He did a good job.
I'd like to see him in like a role as like something like the Fett somehow, you know, like a Boba Fett type thing, to where basically, obviously he's a mercenary.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, ah, well, I made a deal to get me out of trouble here.
Yeah. I think he comes back on the rebellion side of things, personally. He's the Lando this series. So.
Question for you. Is Phasma done?
No.
Probably not. It's like, I thought she was. I thought there's no way she's going to come out of that, but it's like Steven pointed out to me, that armor she has is impenetrable.
Yeah. Did you see the blaster bolt hit her and bounce off?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to come back. She'll be scarred on that left eye where Finn broke her armor, and she fell in the fire. She'll get burned there.
Yeah.
I think she survives. I think she's back.
What gets me, though, is like the buildup for this character, and you have this really awesome armor, and they barely use her at all. Again, this movie, she kind of got shortchanged on it, to where it's like...
I agree.
Yeah.
Just not enough time.
I want to see more Phasma, even though I wasn't a huge fan of the Phasma book, but I still want to see more Phasma just because, man. And it's like, I think you need to expand on that character, and I think they're really kind of missing on a cash cow there.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, Fett was the same way. Fett only had, like, what, like 30 seconds of screen time and three lines or whatever. One of the most popular characters. And maybe that's what they're trying to do, but the fact is like, come on, man, give people what they want. We want to see more Phasma. Let's see more Phasma.
And she did good in this. Well, we did see her. I mean, that's a pretty cool, intense but short battle scene between her 2187.
I'm so stupid. I did not know through all of Force Awakens that was Brienne of Tarth.
Oh, really?
I did not know that. I guess I never picked up the actress.
Yeah,
Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's Brienne of Tarth.
That was her.
Yeah,
that's her.
Saw her eye.
Yeah. She's a very tall lady.
Yes.
I think she's like 6'3 or something like that. Like, yeah, man. I like her a lot. I like her a lot. Everything I've seen her in, even though she kind of plays the same character in both things, in both shows, you know, in Star Wars and in Game of Thrones.
Well, awesome warrior, but one of them, she has honor.
Yeah, you know, who's to say that Phasma doesn't have some sort of honor? I mean, she's obviously super upset with Finn, because, you know, they say, well, we're going to execute him. And that was another thing.
Damn, we're going to make it hurt.
Yeah. That was another thing. I was waiting execution stormtroopers to come in at some point in time, and then they come in, and it's, you know, maybe a 5-second glimpse at them, and that's it, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're cool, man. They got a really cool design, you know.
Well, we're breaking out the executioner trooper.
Yeah.
There they are.
Yeah. There's that one. As we talk about a character, I'll just break out the figure of it.
I like the black strap on his head.
I like
then I like the shoulders.
Yeah, the black pauldrons. The black shoulder pauldrons are pretty awesome.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but the black strap on his head is pretty dang good.
Yeah, it's pretty stinking cool. Yeah.
Rah!
Oh, don't give me it. Don't give me. Right. C-3PO got his red arm fixed.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, he's all gold again now.
I was hoping to see maybe like a silver leg, a good harken back to the New Hope or something like that. Because C-3PO has always had basically a mismatched part in every movie.
True.
I mean, you think about it, in episode one, he's not whole. He doesn't have coverings yet. Episode two, you know, he loses his head and gets it replaced with the battle droid. And episode three in Revenge of the Sith, does he get anything?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
That brings up, I either heard this somewhere the other day or read it somewhere, that in every one, except maybe one Star Wars movie, there's been a dismemberment. Like losing a hand or somebody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that, off the top of your head, does that sound right?
Sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Luke lost his hand in one.
Well, yeah.
Start at the top. The Phantom Menace.
There's not any dismemberments in Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Well, think for a minute. There's got the whole battle there then. Yeah, there is. Darth Maul gets cut in half.
Well, yeah, but that's not a...
He lost his head and his arms and his upper torso. Or you could look at it like he lost his legs.
Yeah.
So somebody gets cut there.
Yeah.
Then what about...
Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, you have Jango Fett lose his head.
True.
Episode 3, you have Anakin losing quite a few limbs. Yeah. Not only that, Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, you have Anakin losing his hand, getting the metallic hand.
True.
Episode 4, A New Hope. There's not one in episode 4, maybe?
No, because Obi-Wan goes to Force Ghost before Darth Vader cuts him.
Yeah. And, of course, episode 5 is...
Well, no, there is Ponda Baba. Walrus Man. Yeah, he loses an arm. Yeah. That's the only time we see blood until Finn gets his buddy's blood smeared on him.
And then, of course, episode 5, the hand.
And then the walrus arm.
Yeah.
Not in the walrus arm.
Episode 5 is, the Wampa arm.
Wampa arm, yeah.
And then episode 6, Return of the Jedi, you have Vader's arm once again.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. And then so Force Awakens.
Yeah, Force Awakens. I can't think of any in Force Awakens.
They took out the cutscene of Chewbacca pulling the guy's arms off.
Yeah.
So you can't say that's in there because it's a cutscene.
Yeah.
So there's nothing in Force Awakens that I can think of.
Yeah. So, and there's not one in...
Almost everyone.
Yeah. There's not one in Last Jedi that I can remember, is there?
Well, Snoke kind of gets...
Snoke.
Yeah, that is true,
He just got sliced in half.
He loses his upper half.
And he does lose an arm, too, because he got sliced in half and he noticed his hand is still sitting there on the throne.
Yeah,
So... That was pretty cool. I kind of figured that was happening. You know, when he was looking at the saber, I was like, is he going to, like, ignite his saber and throw it at Snoke? And no, he was actually turning the other saber there on the throne or whatever. So, yeah.
He knew that Snoke could read his thoughts, see what he was thinking.
Yeah.
And Kylo says, I know what I have to do.
Yeah.
And that shows how much the student had learned from the master. He knew what he had to do.
Oh, yeah.
And he followed through with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was... All I know is I'm powering down quick. I don't know about y'all. So.
Same here. I'm running out of stuff to say just because it's still jumbled up in my head.
I think we covered most everything
we could. I think we did, man.
So.
Yeah.
For a little impromptu after show thing. Yeah. I think we've done pretty good.
So, I'm probably going to go see it again tomorrow with Padre. So
I'm going to try to take the kids Monday morning and convince Jesse to go with us. So
I don't know when it'll be, sometime up near Christmas break.
Yeah.
See it again.
I guess we'll have to have another recap after we see it again and kind of get to digest a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I know there's stuff in there that means something that I'm just not picking up on right now. So we'll just
have to see. Other things. We'll just put them out in our weekly or our monthly or bi-weekly, whatever we decide to release. Things there, just what we see and come up with.
All right. So with that, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
I'm Steven.
And 2BT, signing off.
Well, you're Stevius Josias.
Oh, I'm Stevus.
And I'm Sparky
Spark. Stevius Josias. No,
Sparky
Caesar. Stevius Josias. Oh, yeah.
Emperor Stevius Josias.
Well, I almost said
King Dave Caesar. The Awesomeness.
I had to go with Caesar or Emperor because I'm above a king.
Yeah.
All right.
See you later. Signing off.
Face down in a gutter. Don't want to admit defeat, though.
This is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here.
Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try. Last
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Yeah. But, yeah, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old
because you stop playing.
So it's like,
ooh. Yeah, man, that's...
Cool. I can't remember this week.
Hey, where's the fuzzy taco?
Let's just be surprised. There's Mandalorians, there's clone troopers, there's stormtroopers, there's Jedi, there's Sith, Imperial officers, rebel troopers.
Suck it up.
Buttercup.
All right.
Because I'm going to die here. I'm going to have a heart attack on this couch because the shark's eating me.
Hmm. That's true.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.